were saved before 15 years of age. May I see your hands? Before 15. Whoa, isn't that great? Good. How many were saved between 15 and 25 years of age? May I see your hands? Oh, that's good too. How many are saved after you were 25 or older? Let's see. Okay. How many are not saved, but you should be? Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Well, we're glad to be here. I'd rather be here in the best hospital in Montana.
Amen.
And we got greeted with snow. We have about one snow a year down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And it usually is about 8 inches. I guess the Lord just puts it all together there for the south and pours it out on Chattanooga at one time. That's about the way it is. But it's just beautiful and gorgeous. And you can enjoy it for about a day and then it's gone. It just disappears. You're in the right place tonight. There's no place like this place around this place, so this is the place. And I'm going to tell you something. If the Lord comes within the next moments until the service is over, you'll be glad you're right here tonight. And so thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for how many years now, Pastor? 33 years. 33 years. 33 years old. That reminds me of somebody's birthday. I'm glad you're here tonight. This is great to have you here. I want you to open your Bibles to the greatest chapter in the Bible. You have any idea what chapter that may be? Romans 8. The best known chapter in the whole Bible. John, did I hear somebody say something about 23? Psalm 23. That's my choice. The reason I say Psalm 23, I believe more people know about that psalm than any other portion of Scripture. I was watching a funeral of a singer, a rap-type singer, and the reverend that led the procession down the long aisle having this man's funeral quoted the 23rd Psalm. They got real religious for that particular time. He wasn't religious in what he was singing, but they thought, I suppose, the 23rd Psalm was going to get him in. But the 23rd Psalm, I suppose, as well known as any other portion of Scripture by the public in general, by everybody in general. So if you don't mind, turn with me, please, to the 23rd Psalm. And tonight, we're going to do what they did after 52 days building the walls. The scribe stood up and opened the Scripture. And when he opened the Scripture, I think that's one of the best habits that you could have. Not say, now you all stand for the reading of the Bible. I think when the Scripture is announced, I think it just honors the Lord Jesus Christ by just standing automatically. And so let's all say the 23rd Psalm together. The scribe stood up, Ezra, after 52 days, a record, building all those walls of Jerusalem. When he stood up and opened the book, everybody stood up out of honor of the word. I think that's the best habit in the world a church could form. And so we're reading from Psalm 23, all together in unison. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The 23rd Psalm is nestled in between two mountain peaks of prophecy. The 22nd Psalm tells us about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 24th Psalm tells us about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The 22nd Psalm, Jesus came to reveal God. In the 24th Psalm, He will reveal Himself. In Psalm 22, the Lord Jesus Christ was humiliated. In Psalm 24, He is going to be exalted. He was rejected in Psalm 22. He's going to rule and reign in the 24th Psalm. He's a man of sorrows in the 22nd Psalm. He's going to serve the world with a mandate of sovereignty in the 24th Psalm. He rode a donkey in Psalm 22. He's going to come on a white horse in the 24th Psalm. He was spit upon in the 22nd Psalm. In the 24th Psalm, he's going to sit upon his throne. He was crucified in 22. In 24, he's going to be glorified. He came as a servant in the 22nd Psalm. He's going to be the supreme king when he comes in the 24th Psalm. So Psalm 22 tells us about the cross. And Psalm 24, we could name that the crown. And Psalm 23 gives us comfort. I don't know how many people have had comfort out of this wonderful 23rd Psalm. And so Psalm 22 is the shepherd's crook, I've named it. And Psalm 24 is the sovereign crown. And, or rather, 22 is the cross, and the crook is Psalm 23. And nestled in between these two great mountain peaks of prophecy is not only a psalm to die by, it's a psalm to live by, and how we should live by this psalm. There was a man who was an entertainer. He could just memorize and say any part of the great prose and poetry, and he knew them by the hundreds. And he had an audience prepared for that, and one after another he would give all of these wonderful poems and tell short stories and just kept the people transfixed. They were just spellbound listening to every word he said. He said, "You've been such a good crowd." He said, "I'm going to choose someone to, several. I'll have several of you. If you have any great poems or prose or poetry or lines of Shakespeare that you would like to hear, just name them and I'll quote them for you." And this went on for a long time. And then finally he said, "We're finished now, but for an encore, is there anyone else that has a special prose or poem or a song you want to hear?" An old gentleman in the back of the room raised his hand. He said, "I'd like to hear you quote the 23rd Psalm if you know it." Rather being taken back by that kind of an inference, "Do you know it?" Well, the performer says, "Of course I know it." And he quoted he started quoting the 23rd Psalm, and they said, "Just a moment." He said, "I'll quote the 23rd Psalm if you will quote it after me." He put the old man on the spot. And so the entertainer quoted the 23rd Psalm. The people stood and applauded and cheered and thinking it was all over. He said, just a moment now. My friend back here is going to, now he's going to quote the 23rd Psalm. And the old man, rather timidly, stood to his feet. And he quoted the 23rd Psalm. And after it was over, the audience was not applauding. They were not applauding. They were weeping. And the entertainer had enough character about him to say, ladies and gentlemen, I know the 23rd Psalm. This man knows the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. Now, question. Do you know the shepherd? Do you know the shepherd? And so in verses 1 and 2, we see the shepherd and the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now the Lord here, the shepherd, is the person that knows Christ, can read it with the emphasis on my shepherd. We can read it with the emphasis on I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So the Bible is teaching us very clearly the shepherd and the sheep. Here in verses 1 and 2, I want us to read this, and I want us to emphasize the personal references to those of us who are reading this. And when you come to my, I want you to join me. And when we come to I want you to join me in these first two verses. Are you ready? The Lord is
my
shepherd.
I
shall not want. He maketh
me
to lie down in green pastures.
He restoreth
my soul. And so the Bible is teaching us how to read and how to look and how to pray. We see here in verses 1 and 2, the shepherd and the sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, the Bible says. Now, look in verses 3 and 4. He restoreth, again with me on those personal references, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the Bible is teaching us here that we have a guide and we are travelers. If you do not have Jesus Christ as a guide, you are blind. You cannot see afar off. You cannot see the teaching of the Word of God. When Jesus Christ said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You cannot see that this is for us. This is for each believer. And so the Bible is teaching us the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep are those of us who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I saw something very amazing one of our trips over to Spain. And I saw three shepherds standing out, and I saw the sheep. And the sheep were all around the hillside there, and that's the way they go from one place to another, and they go to search for something to eat, and they graze. And I thought, well, now I'm going to watch this thing, and I want to see how it plays out. And these three shepherds were there, and the sheep were all around them. And after a little while, one of the shepherds started off in a certain direction, and he started making sort of a clicking sound. And I noticed that the sheep began to filter out of that great, great group of sheep and started following this man. I think he went that way first. And when he got out of the way, all of his sheep were following him, but the rest of them were still there. And then in a little while, I saw the next shepherd. He made another noise, and it was only known to his sheep. And when he went out that direction, all of his sheep began to follow him. And I saw a beautiful example. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now that verse is important. Once in a while there would be a wayward sheep, and he would wander away from the fold. Now that's not good, because predators can take a sheep. He has no defense whatsoever. None whatsoever. And I noticed that when a sheep would get away and he would keep going and going, the shepherd would get that sheep back. And if he did not stay with the flock as carefully, as tenderly as he possibly could, he would break the little sheep's leg. And he would make that little sheep lie down in the green pastures. And sometimes the Lord has to do that to us. Did you know that? You can get out of line if you're really born again. And the Lord sometimes has to give us a sickness. He has to cause us to have some emergency treatment. But he causes something to happen to make us stop and think. And that's the way Jesus Christ works. That's the way he teaches his sheep. You're a sheep. A sheep, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now we see here a guide and the traveler. Now turn back, if you will, please, to Psalm 22. This shows the Lord Jesus Christ as his first coming. His first coming is when he died on the cross. The 22nd Psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look at verse 7. All they see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Look at the 13th verse. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare at me. I think of Dolphus Price. Did you ever hear Dolphus Price preach? He was a powerful, about 5'9", he was sort of a heavy set guy. And Dolphus Price had a way of saying things. And when he was describing the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, I never will forget. He said, our Savior on the cross could not be recognized if you knew him before. They beat our Savior. He said, his ribs, like fingers of ivory, stuck out. Like fingers of ivory in buckets of blood. That's pretty descriptive. We don't know the shame that our Savior had on the cross. So here we have the cross in Psalm 23. And now look in 22. And in Psalm 24, we see the crown. And so the Bible teaches us in verse 7 of Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? This is the return of Christ. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And nestled in between these mountain peaks of prophecy is the valley. It's the valley. And we're in that valley today. We're waiting for the mountaintop. The last time the Lord Jesus Christ was upon this earth, he was on the mountain. And people stood and watched him. And as they watched him, the Lord began to ascend up into heaven. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now the Bible is teaching us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. I've heard it called a commission. I guess you have too. But to me, it's a command, folks. Do it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, well, how can I do that? How many of you have been out of the state of Montana? Have you been out of this state? Okay, thank you. How many have been out of the United States? Let's see. All right. Did you know something? If you're saved, you're a witness wherever you go. You say, how can I talk to those people in Germany? Have you ever heard of Bible tracts? How can I talk to those people in Japan? Have you ever heard of Bible tracts? They are in every language, and you can hand out the Word of God wherever you go upon the face of this earth. And Christians who understand that realize that you are a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes you watch what you do, watch how you talk, watch what you wear, watch where you go, watch how you act. Because we are being watched. Not only by the world, but we're being watched by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His eyes go to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. I was thinking one time we were in Germany, and I carry the Mickey Mantle story with me everywhere I go. It's wonderful. I have a goal of getting at least 5 out a day, and sometimes I get 2 or 3, but the next day I may get 10 or 15 out. And I'm on my 4,000 now of giving those stories out. I just take it out of my pocket, hold it up, and say, have you ever heard of this guy? Who hadn't heard of him, you know? And I say, well, I'll give it to you. You'd like to read it. I think I'm going to see people in heaven over that track. I was in Germany and in Rothenburg. You ever been in Rothenburg, Germany? It's a place where a lot of people like to go. It's old wall city in the 1500s. And I walked under one of these arches, and there's a family of four sitting over here. I could tell it was a husband and wife, the older, and then it was the son and the daughter-in-law, or vice versa, sitting there. And so I turned around, came back. They didn't see me. They were discussing their plans or whatever. And I pulled out this tract from my pocket, and I held it up, and I said, you ever heard of this fella? And they, no, I didn't start that way. I didn't start that way. Forgot all about me. I went over to him, and I said, Hofjot, he's a blunt booty. You know, and they looked at one another, and they said, we're Americans. We speak English. I said, I do too. I thought I'd just play with you a little bit. And they laughed. And I said, where are you from? They said, Kentucky. I said, Kentucky? I'm from Indiana. I said, what town are you from in Kentucky? They said, Henderson. I said, I'm in Evansville, Indiana. I said, we built a bridge from Kentucky to Indiana so you folks could swim over in the shade. And they just laughed, and we laughed and everything. And I gave them this, and I said, you know, this will show you how to go to heaven. Isn't that something? We're meeting from Indiana and Kentucky, right over here in Germany, and just across the river. You're from Henderson, I'm from Evansville. You know, I could expect to see those people in heaven. You know, the Lord wants you to be a witness. Ye shall be my witnesses. Now, you say, well, that's for the disciples. I'm glad you recognize that. Because if you're saved, you know what you are? A disciple. You are a disciple. Now, it's gone from 12 up to millions now. But you are a witness. Ye shall be my witnesses. Now think about that. Some in this building have never even witnessed to their lost mother or father. Some in this building have never witnessed to their lost brother or sister. Do you realize what that means? If they're not saved, a member of your family is going to go to a Christless eternity in hell forever. Have you ever thought about that? The Lord says, ye shall be my witnesses. And so, if you're saved, you are a sheep. Now, the Bible teaches us in verses 3 and 4, we are travelers through this world and we have a guide. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's right living for His name's sake. Now, if you're living wrong, you are a reproach to Almighty God. For people who know that you're saved or claim that you're saved. So we are to be representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my shepherd, and when He is our shepherd, we shall not want. And in verses 3 and 4, we have a guide as we are traveling through this world. Now the rod in verse number 4 is a picture of the resurrection. You remember Aaron's rod? What did it do? Brought forth life. And so the rod is a picture of the resurrection. The staff is a picture of Calvary. Jesus died on the cross for us. So this psalm is more than just six verses. This psalm is a tool to live by. And I'll guarantee you, it'll help you to die right when you live by this psalm. Now verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, what does that remind you of? The Lord Jesus Christ now is on Calvary. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now, the Bible is teaching us here that we have a host, and He is our host, and we are His guest. It's beautiful. Verse number 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That's protection, joy, and blessing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let's look at that fifth verse for just a moment. You're out, you're lost, maybe you've been on a hunt or you're out in the wilderness and can't find your way back in. And then after a few days they find you. And you're starving to death. And they say, boy, you must be hungry. And you say, yeah, I've had to drink that mountain stream and I've had to eat grass and eat some of the things that I can think will be all right for me. And boy, I'm just delighted. I'm delighted to be back. And they bring you in. and they set you down, and all these delicious foods are before you, you know, and your mouth is watering, you can't wait. You thank the Lord for it, and you just start to put in your first fork, and the door opens, and every one of your enemies flugging in. They flood in and circle around you. Let's put the IRS in there, and let's put the police department in there, and let's put everybody that's ever cussed you out in there, and people, when you give them a track or something, they keep the blankety-blank thing. I'm not interested in that. And all of them are standing around ready to prance upon you, and you're starving to death. Can you eat? Yes. Under these circumstances, you can eat. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of what? Mine enemies. And when Jesus Christ has prepared the table, He anoints us with oil, and our cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is being a guest, and our host is the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who was a songwriter, and Peterson and Al Smith were sitting at the piano one time, and they were just playing a few chords and awful, and they both got a memory of Miss Murphy. And she was a good teacher. And they said, well, remember Miss Murphy. And, you know, Miss Murphy's teaching will follow us all the days of our lives. And the Lord gave them, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, and feed at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And that's the way that song was discovered and written. And every circumstance we go through, if we're alert, will give us a chance to do something just like that. Every circumstance we go through will give us an opportunity. If you're sort of poetry-minded, you can write poetry. And if it's good, somebody can put music to it. That's the inspiration of the Lord, and that's what comes out of Psalm 23. We see the host and the guest. Who is our host? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The Lord's doing it. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's protection. That's joy. That's blessing. That's courage. That's comfort that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us. True story. There were Mr. Bennett and Harry Rimmer would face any of those evolutionists, the Darwins and the rest of them, and they would have big auditoriums, and these atheists, these people that think they came from monkeys. Did you see what Ben Carson said the other day? I'm not getting political, but he was having a talk with a man that said he was an atheist. And Ben Carson said, well, I came from God, and you don't have to convince me where you think you came from. You came from a monkey. I thought, wow, I like that. Here's the host and the guest. We are guests of the Lord Jesus Christ. These two men, Mr. Bennett and Dr. Rimmer, lawyers, would go around, and they would challenge any of them, and they would come in, and they would talk, and people would listen to what they had to say and make up their minds whether we came from monkeys or the creation of God. And so there's a little fella, And he's happened, true story, he's happened, his name happened to be Bobby. And Bobby was in the church where Mr. Bennett spoke one Sunday morning. And his parents, Bobby's parents, were responsible for taking Mr. Bennett out and getting lunch. And so he walked down the steps and climbed in the back seat of a car, four-door car, and he sat there. And here came the little guy, and he got in on the other side. So here's a little lad sitting on that side, and here's the great doctor, Mr. Bennett, sitting on this side, and they took off to get something to eat. And so Mr. Bennett, being a very, very kind man and liked little children, I just have to kind of get a conversation going with him when we're by ourselves from time to time. And Mr. Bennett said something, "Well, what do we have here?" And the little boy, Bobby, stuck his head all the way over in the corner between the seat and the window in one of those old two-seated cars. And he stuck his head over there in the corner. He was really putting the shy act on. And so Mr. Bennett couldn't get a response from him. And so he asked him several questions, and he just kept creating. And then so he changed his line of questioning. He was an attorney, and he knew how to do that, get people to talk. And he said, "What's your name?" Now, you can't answer that by shrugging your shoulders. Or he said, "Bobby." "Oh, that's a nice name. I know some Bobbies around." He said, "You went to Sunday school this morning?" "Yes." "Ah, that's good." Now he changed his line of questioning just a little bit more. He said something like, "And so you went to Sunday school. What was the lesson about?" Now you can't answer that by shaking your head. And he said, "Sheep." "Sheep, oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful." He said, "Anything else about it?" "Shepherd." "A shepherd? Sheep and shepherd?" "That's right. And you know something, mister?" He said, "The sheep were taken care of by the shepherd. And there's a bear." "Oh, this is interesting. Mister, there was a bear that got after the sheep. And you know what the shepherd did? He killed it. And he took the sheep up and made them lie down in green pastures." He said, "Mister, I'm a sheep. Are you a sheep?" He said, "Mister, I have a shepherd. Do you have a shepherd?" And Mr. Bennett said, in the back seat of an automobile on the way to eat lunch that Sunday afternoon, an old man and a young boy had joy talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, because of that incident, they continued to be friends. And Bobby grew up. He went into the armed forces. Bobby was killed. And they wired Mr. Bennett. They'd kept in touch with one another all these years. And said, "Bobby is missing in action." And Mr. Bennett wired back, "Anybody that can be located is not missing." He said, "Bobby is at the top of the hill with a shepherd." Question. When it comes time, if the rapture doesn't take place, and you're cold, and you're in a coffin, and people walk by to look at you, question. That body may go in the ground, but your soul and your spirit is going to be in one of two places. Don't you think it would be best? Don't you think it would be best to go God's way instead of your own way? Don't you think it would be best to do what the Bible says. Don't you think it would be best to ask the Creator of the universe, who sent His Son to die on the cross for you? Don't you think it would be best to ask Him to be your Savior? Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you got to do that before you get in the coffin. You got to do that in services just like this. You got to do it. You may listen to the radio and you hear the preaching over the radio. And the pastor says, or the preacher says, if he's preaching the Word of God, you say, as you're listening right now, Jesus Christ is present in your life. He's right there. All you have to do is just bow your head and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. And He'll save you. You can be born again and you can have a home in heaven. Don't you think it makes sense to prepare for that before it's too late? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Say it with me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.